Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
California.
It happens
to be sunny. Today okay. is about 80 degrees. I can't complain.
Okay.
But you know, it's crazy like usual.
Okay, explain that, please.
Just anything in a big city is going to be crazy because of the amount of people, the amount of revenue people are trying to gather, and just, you know, when there's a lot of people, there's always some type of chaos.
Goodness.
You know, over the years I've adapted to it. It's good for business as long as I don't get caught up in the chaos.
So you keep keeping yourself straight, out of trouble, keeping yourself focused on your career.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of your career, you've got some great things going for you.
Yes, ma'am. I can't complain. I'm happy.
So let's talk about Mr. Richard Pryor Jr. How are you going to work with him?
So I connected with him and Lenny Sinstack and Rain Pryor on Facebook. And I'm a pretty persistent dude. And, you know, I was raised in, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. So, you know, they watched my comedy, read a few of my posts, and, you know, took a liking to me. So we started talking. And Lenny Sinstack is a film director, and he's worked with HBO. And I believe Richard Pryor Jr. is going to be doing something with the Richard Pryor film that's going to be coming out with his dad. I don't know all the details, but I know they wanted me to be included in it, and I think that'll be around about May or June, something like that.
Okay.
So,
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm happy to be mentioned in the same sentence with Richard Pryor, and obviously if his offspring speaks to me and his offspring knows who I am, you're heading in the right direction, so you can't really worry about what other people think. Not even really what they think, but perhaps you're doing the right thing.
Okay. Now, before you were on my show, it's been a while. You were talking about how you like to impersonate Cat Williams, Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker, Tony Montana, Scarface, among many others. What do they think of your impersonations of them? Have they ever heard you, any of them?
Yeah, I'm sure with a few of my online YouTube clips, they've gotten a glimpse of it. People normally want to hear those. it took a while to learn how to do them. So, you know, I don't have a problem with doing them. I mean, just I practice them often. I'm always trying to just perfect it. I think every great comedian who wants to be great, and I definitely don't want to be mediocre. This is not a hobby. This is something I really want to be great at. So, you know, just I think every great comedian can impersonate people like Cat Williams, who is great, Bernie Mac, who was great, Chris Tucker, who was great, and Tony Montana, Scarface. That's one of the greatest movies of all time. So.
Oh wow.
So yes.
Okay. So all right. So. The career is really moving forward. You say you met him on Facebook. This gives you a lot of connections, including my own connections. Internet's great. It can be bad, too, but it's being used for good things, too. It's good for networking.
Right. It is, when you say that, Angela, that makes so much sense. However, I think my posts are a little I'm not a militant person. I think a militant I think militant is something the media makes up, especially the white media, because if they want to talk about militants, the Ku Klux Klan is militant because they move and they try to kill people. When like Malcolm X was a militant, he just got tired of getting his butt kicked and he wanted to do something about it. You know what I mean? He wanted to help himself and he wanted to help his people. He didn't have anything against somebody who looked different than him. He just got tired of getting his butt kicked. So you know, like I'm not a militant person.
No, you're not a militant person. I understand. I've said it on Mr. Malcolm X, too. He was very much misunderstood back then. But some of the things he says makes plenty of sense. But, you know, some people still don't agree with that.
Yes, ma'am.
So do one of your impersonation of the deceased Mr. Bernie Mac.
Oh, you want me to do the Bernie Mac? I can do that.
Yeah.
When you're talking about Malcolm X, you got to get two things clear. You know, it just wasn't the glasses that he was trying to do. He was trying to show you that he'll kick your, you understand what I'm saying? He said, by any means necessary. So that's care people who trying to punk you. You can't punk a man like that. You get what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's hair. You know what I'm saying? You got to take a deep breath. You got to take a deep breath and let the truth shine through. You understand?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Just a little something like that.
Okay.
So yeah.
So that's pretty funny. You sound a lot like him. No, but on a serious side, you know, you're out there in California. I haven't heard a whole lot about California. Well, I haven't on the media. I don't watch it all the time since Rodney King. But out there in California, where you at? Are there any killings going on by the police that's not making the news? Did you like to discuss, or would you like to just stick to, you know, the way we're going?
I hate to laugh at that, but absolutely. I think that the LAPD, I'm originally from Mobile, and then after my parents separated, we moved to the Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Detroit area. And I've seen police do some things in my time, some good and bad things. But, however, the LAPD is probably one of the most treacherous gangs you could ever, like, they're definitely – on their job. You know, they definitely have an agenda. I'm not saying that they don't pop people who should get popped, but they definitely go out of their way. I mean, even with just not black people, I've seen them tune up a couple white boys. You know, obviously everybody knows that the government or some people have a personal vendetta against blacks or so-called African Americans. But I've seen this is basically a Mexican-dominated and an Asian-dominated society out here in California. We do have some blacks and some whites. However, it's more Mexican and Asian. I've seen them come at them, have them all lined up, handcuffed, you know what I mean, you know, hitting them or chasing them down the street, you know, just a lot of different things going on. And, like, for me, I was always raised, there's a reason for everything. And, like, at the end of the day, nobody's talking about that reason. They just kicking butt and shooting and killing. And, you know, I think just a couple of weeks ago, they shot a homeless man who had schizophrenia. You know, like, I think with training, it's almost like if I get heckled at a show. I've been a professional comedian for quite some time now. I need to handle that and it's just words, heckling. I need to handle that heckler with tact. But the police shooting people, that should be your last option. Even me as a civilian, like, if you come into my home or you invade my privacy, me shooting you should be the last resort. You know what I mean? First of all, you need to recognize who it is. What exactly are they trying to do? Do they have a weapon? If you can see their hands, if you can see somebody's hands, you have no business when you're at a professional level getting paid by the people. You're getting paid. That's almost like slapping your mama. who gave birth to you and raised you and fed you and let you stay in the house and put clothes on your back.
You're right.
We're funding that. And now the social media, I'm glad you asked this. I'm sorry I'm going on such a tangent. But now the social media is a coward's playground. Now all these closet racists, you know, and, like, I don't have a problem with white people. I think 75% of my friends are white. However, I think it's a problem when we're not speaking out about this. And since I'm getting older, a lot of my white friends have kids. And, like, when we die, this world is going to be terrible. So if you sit there and you happy in your house and everything is cool and peachy king and you don't have no problem and you're cool with Mike Brown's situation, Mike Brown's situation is like a cockroach. Like, if there's one, there's a million of them. But the media only decided to tell us about a few isolated incidents. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my take on that. The police are killing people out here. They're beating people up. They're putting drugs on people, you know, of color, you know, and giving them prison time because that's what they was born. That's what they were set out to do. A lot of people don't know this. After the Vietnam War, the governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles went out and recruited sergeants, lieutenants, and high-ranking officials from the Army, Marines, and the Navy from Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, all the southern states where you know they don't like black people. This is like in the 70s.
I'm about 35, maybe 40 minutes from Dothan, Alabama. I'm not far from the Alabama state line. I'm in the panhandle.
Yes,
so, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I do.
They recruited these people on purpose to come out here and be sheriffs, lieutenants, and captains of police departments. Why would you do that when this is basically Mexico. Why aren't you going to Mexicans and asking them, why aren't you going to the Asian population? Why aren't there more black sheriffs? You know what I'm saying? Like all the – in Watson, Compton, and Inglewood, coincidentally – The white officials and the government officials went out and recruited people from southern states. That's interesting to me. I just find that funny.
It's not just interesting. They're asking for trouble when they do that because you know, they're very upset. I don't live too far from where the local Tea Party meets at.
Mm.
So you know. It's not fun, you know. It's not for, like I said, for me. But where they used to meet, I don't know if they still do. So you know, there are things still going on here. It's just more hush hush now, and it's not brought out in the forefront of the open like that, unless you sue for discrimination or something like that.
Absolutely, and don't you think that's kind of funny that people have to sue for discrimination? Don't you feel that that's kind of a setup? However, me being a comedian, I make fun of the Tea Party. Basically, the Tea Party are basically a rendition of the Ku Klux Klan. And these people, all of a sudden, Barack Obama happens to be a black man. He's in the office now. Now they're offended because the Obama administration has it out for them, and they're going to interfere with their racial, financial, and spiritual plans for people who don't look like them. You know, if you can't control people, you're going to get upset. Like, there's no reason for there to be white supremacy. There is no reason for that. Well, the only reason is you can't stop God's people. I'm not a religious person. You can't stop melanin. You can't stop what is pure. You can't stop what is never going to leave. They've been trying to kill us since day one, and you still can't get rid of us. Now they're even trying to inbreed with us. They're trying to mix with us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes and trying to make you feel weird about who you actually are.
Yeah,
like I said, I don't have a problem.
I make you feel like
you're
the one that doesn't like them. Are you the troublemaker?
Absolutely.
I understand.
Of course, I'm gonna be a troublemaker if you're calling me the N word and you're trying to beat me up and they're still lynching people. They're still lynching people in 2015.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Come on, man. They're still. Let me get this.
But they're calling it suicide. They call it suicide.
Come on now. Yeah. I mean, like, they're still going out. Cause I think they just had a recent situation in North Carolina where this black young man was dating this white woman, and I guess she was older, and him and his mom was having some issues, obviously. And I think he was like 18 or 19, and an 18 and 19 year old should not be messing around with no 40 year old woman. She shouldn't be attracted to him, and he shouldn't be attracted to her, flat out. You should have nothing in common. So what I'm saying is the local Ku Klux Klan, these people still assemble, and they found out, and they lynched him in his own neighborhood on the swing set. So let me get this straight. So they said it was a suicide. So like I said, if I was 18 or 19 and it was a woman who looked good, like the last thing I'm going to do is kill myself. I'm going to try to figure out how I can get some more.
you get what I'm saying, so
now the prosecutor, they don't have no case, really.
No.
So again, we're electing these people, we're paying for this. If you have a job and you pay taxes, you're paying to get screwed over. You're paying for these people to say, well, we're not going to file any charges against Darren Wilson or the Ku Klux Klan, or we're going to let George Zimmerman get away with what he got away with. And people gave him crowdfunding. Like, I'm a poor comedian.
Yes, they do.
And I do not want a handout from anybody. Once you're a man and you reach the age of 18, there are no handouts. People either gave it to you or borrowed it, right? But good Christian white people, or good Christians, gave George Zimmerman millions of dollars to go domestic violence 3 or 4 times. He'd have pulled guns on other people. He'd have slapped his daddy, beaten his girlfriend. It's just a matter of time before this person kills again. But let me go out in the middle of the street and say my feelings there. Oh, man, this guy, he's angry. He's mad. You know, I mean, like, if I'm angry and I'm mad, I mean, like, I hate to see me when I'm pissed. You get what I'm saying? I just want to set the record straight for anybody out there who wants to speak the total truth. Man, you're not angry. You're not mad. You're doing God's work. If you tell the truth, not what you feel, what you believe, what you actually see, then you're doing God's work, flat out.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you're correct about that. You're very correct. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. There's a lot of truth in what you say. Well, it's all true in what you're saying. But I just have to wonder, being a comedian, you say you make jokes about the Tea Party. Do you ever get hassled for that?
I did. I did a show down in Orange County, which is a very predominantly white society, and I told a joke in front of a crowd. It was probably about 40 people there. When I got done, it was an older white man, probably about 55, and he came up to me, and he was in a joking manner. He was like, how dare you come down here and say that? He said, but that was some funny, you know what I mean, stuff. He said, that was true. You know, and like, you know, and that's what I want. That's worth more than money, to have him, somebody that could probably be my dad, come up and say, young man, you're paying attention. There's nothing I can say to you. You don't have an angle where I can gain leverage on you. You get what I'm saying? And then he proceeded to tell me I had a joke about a porn star I met, and then he proceeded to tell me that he runs a porn shop and I can come in and buy something. And I said, what?
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, being a comedian is very wild. I mean, like, I'm not famous.
Yes,
enough,
it is.
But you run into a lot of individuals who want to offer you things, or you're like,
you're
okay,
not
man.
Famous yet, but you're making those connections. When you said Mr. Richard Pryor Jr., you know, that's huge. I mean, someone is seeing you. Yeah. Someone is listening. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, he wouldn't be talking to you if you weren't funny.
Right, absolutely. And I got another story about and like, I don't have a problem with rednecks. I just have a problem with certain rednecks. I did a show in Amarillo, Texas, and I told a joke about how I felt about the word yeehaw and all that stuff. And like, my act is very over the top. It's very to the point, very much like how I am as a person. And he came up to me at the end. He said, look here, partner. Man, I wish my wife could have heard some of that, man. That's some of the best damn comedy I've ever heard in my life. Because I thought he was going to get mad and want to hit me. He came up with the cowboy boots. I think he had a cigarette in his mouth, and he had the hat on, and he actually bought me a couple of drinks. And he said, I can't wait to see you. I said, I can't wait to see you again. So, you know, it's those things that make me happy. You know what I mean? Those are things that you can't buy that really make me happy as a comedian. You know, like being paid a lot of money helps, so you can pay your bills and people can ask you for stuff and say they know you. But, I mean, like just having someone that you've never met, you had totally different upbringings, and, you know what I mean? And for him to come up and, you know, say, hey, man, you know, I know how it is. Get a couple of drinks on me, man. Like, shake my hand like a man and keep it moving, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else has been going on since you were last on the show? Besides what we all know about the killings that have never stopped here in the United States of America and all those things, what have you been doing?
Just trying to get to the next level, get more acting work. I want to go in that direction. It's pilot season now here in Los Angeles and Hollywood, so I think it's going to be pilot season for like the next month or so. So I want to keep working hard. I want to get new pictures and get more acting chops. And then I want to spend some time traveling abroad, doing some stuff in the Dallas area, Houston area, Detroit, Chicago. And then this summer, I would like to spend a lot of time in New York. New York is good.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
They keep it real in New York. You know, if you stink, they'll tell you stink. And if you're good, they'll tell you good. You know what I mean? So I like living with those circumstances.
Okay, you know. Sounds great. Sounds like you're really working at it. And you are funny. You're not telling a lot of jokes now, but you are funny. I was going to ask you to impersonate Mr. Chris Tucker, the comedian, Chris Tucker.
Would you do the Chris Tucker? Yeah, I would do that. That's one of the ones that I always work on.
But, man, I'm on the Andrew Butler Show, man. I got me and Lee. I got me and Jackie Chan out here, man. I'm ready to work out with four, man. We got to get Ice Cube. We got to make the next Friday and get this paper, man. I got to pay my bills, man.
So, you know, just a little sample for you.
You're funny. You're talented, too. You're very talented. Yeah. I've been trying. Speaking of the Knicks, I've been trying to take this show to the next level for a while now. Been trying for a while. Maybe, you know, God willing, I'll get there one day.
Right. And you have great guests as well. I know. I think you've had people from Full Force, a few other celebrities, Darius McCurry, people who have made a name, like, people, like, if I was on their level, man, I mean, I throw
Darius
a few dollars.
Boys in the Hood.
You had Darius McCurry from Family Matters on here, right?
No, you're talking about his brother.
Oh, Donovan, the singer. Okay.
Yeah.
I actually know Donovan personally. I don't know if he remembers me, but I had a friend who played basketball at San Diego State, and I was playing a little basketball back then, too. And we used to play pickup together. He's a big dude. He's about 6'4". He has big muscles.
Oh, okay.
I remember him being like really. I didn't think he could play basketball, but he was actually really good. So yeah. So I didn't even know he sang then. He never iterated.
I've been trying to get him back on the show, but it's hard. I was trying to get him and his brother both, but it hasn't happened yet. You know, I've had him on a couple of times, and he liked the show.
Right.
He said it was really relaxed and easy to talk to. And, you know, I pretty much let people, you know, talk about what they want. How do you like earthquakes out there? Have you been there when there are any earthquakes in California?
I have been in a couple of earthquakes. One in particular that sticks out of my mind, I was living in Hollywood, and our building, I think it was four floors, and we was on the third floor. So I was eating lunch. And all of a sudden, you know, like when I was cooling down, and like sometimes your body acts weird when you're done working out hard. And the building just swayed like a piece of paper in the wind. And I said, what the? And I looked around. I said, oh, Lord. So I just immediately put my fork down and ran outside. So that's what they tell you to do and try to get in the middle of the street. Because we had like a couple – our building was a little older, and I didn't trust it. So that's what I did. And it only happened for like – it was like 10 to 15 seconds, maybe 20. You know,
All right.
Yeah, this was last year. I think there was a few earthquakes last year. Yeah, they happened.
Okay.
So yeah, I had one when I was on the toilet and one when I was sleeping. So.
So you're still doing the clubs, the comedian, the clubs. Have you made it to BET yet?
No, I have not made it to BET. I don't think my act is really conducive for mainstream because I use profanity. So, I mean, I do have clean sets where I don't have to cuss. But, like, you know, it's just sometimes I use certain words that adult men use, you know, in nightclubs. So, you know, just I've auditioned for Let's Stay Together. Robbie Reed is the BET vice president. She's running everything over there. Big shout out to Robbie Reed. I've auditioned for that, and we keep in touch every now and then. She's She's somebody I care about. She's a really good person. She makes it happen for people who couldn't make it happen for themselves. So you got to respect folks like that. You know what I mean?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, she. Yeah. You know. You know who she is. She's no. She's one of those people who can change your life.
Yeah. Yes, she is. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So what I was going to ask, what is your family, now that you're, you know, actually making a living and making money at this and becoming more well-known up there in California throughout the United States? Because I know you, I think you're going to be performing L.A., Chicago, New York City,
yeah.
Detroit, and I don't know where else you're going to be traveling.
I'm
going to
do some stuff in Houston, San Diego, Dallas area.
So what does your family say? What did they say now about your career?
That's funny you bring
that up. I know you're
a
grown man, but I'm just curious.
Absolutely. Well, my mom has passed. She passed 11 years ago. You know, it depends on how she is. I think she would be happy. She'd probably be a little – I think she would be a little nervous based upon the stuff that I say and, like, some of the responses I get from people. Not everybody likes me. I get a few emails and phone calls and Facebook inboxes of people not approving of my messages that I send. But to be tell the truth, I don't have a really strong relationship with my family. I think that you can concur with this, not saying that you don't, but we have a very illness and a very sickness in the black culture. And if you don't follow the rules and do like everybody else does and be a cookie cutter and go work for somebody else, then you're really not doing what is respected of. You know, I don't go to church. I'm not religious. I don't have a wife. You know, I'm kind of living a lifestyle that, you know, that they don't appreciate. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And the things that come out of my mouth, like, I mean them. Like, I don't apologize very much. I apologize twice a year, and I think I've already used one up. So I got one more in 2016. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
I do have some family members. I talked to my cousin Benji earlier. He's a truck driver, and he was taking a load from Detroit back down to Macon, Georgia. And we talked, and he was just telling me, "Cuzzo, just keep doing your thing, man. I love you, man." And, like, he just called me out of the blue, which rarely happens.
Have you ever went to Atlanta, Georgia? Have you ever visited there, lived there?
Yeah, I spent a few time. My friend Chris Howard is doing some stuff down there with Mosaic Films. Chris Howard's my Facebook friend, played at the University of Michigan, played in the NFL. Now he's running a studio called Mosaic Film Studio, right in the heart of Atlanta. And he's living down there, getting some stuff together. And I stayed with him, and I hit some stuff with my man from Tyler Perry, Quincy Bonds. I think you had him on the show.
You
I
know
some
him?
Stuff with him.
Yes, I've had him. I've been trying to get him to come back on, and I get no response.
Yeah,
so,
I know he's real busy. He's really busy with the kids. I know he's doing some stuff with the kids and doing commercials. And Quincy's a really good guy, and I know that LeVan Davis will come out to the shows, and the cast from The House of Pain will come out to the shows. So I did the Funny Farm there, and I did a couple Hole in the Walls there in Atlanta. So I like Atlanta. I think Atlanta's booming, and they're doing some really good stuff there. Outside of that.
Yeah, I like Atlanta,
outside,
too.
Outside of that garbage reality TV show, which goes back to what I was talking about. You know, for me, I've never, ever looked for anybody to put me on a pedestal. All I'm doing is looking for respect, because if you give me respect, I'll give it back. I'll always have that be a two-way street. But however, these black people making 6-7 figures, sometimes 8 figures, acting a fool on TV. But these people, so-called Christians, tune in every Friday, every Thursday, every Saturday night, watching people throw drinks. These, you know, but like for me, if I say something about you know, them being coons or them being non-supportive, then all of a sudden I'm angry. It's like, okay, man.
Okay.
I mean, I can't really defend myself. But I'm like, if you understand anger, when somebody's angry, they're going to do 3 things. They're going to steal, they're going to kill, and they're going to rape. And they're going to keep repeating that until they get caught. I don't do any of those things. I'm just shocked and appalled that I can't have the support that I deserve. You know, and like, I've done a few things. I'm not going to get into it, but I've done a few things that I'm not proud of, you know, to make sure that I maintain my lifestyle and my living to survive. You know, but however,
and you had 10 seconds.
You know, I mean, if I had the support I needed, you know, I think I would be a lot nicer person.
Okay. You'd be a lot nicer person.
I'd be a lot nicer.
Okay. Okay. I understand that. So that's going to end the show. I'm going to send you the link, and I'm going to get back with you in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay? All right, Gene. Okay. All right. Everyone, you've been listening to Elijah Howard. Elijah Howard impersonates Cat Williams, I'm sorry, Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker, and Tony Montana, Scarface, among others. Look for him in a Richard Pryor Jr. film. He's very funny. He's been serious right now, but he's very funny, very talented. very talented. So if you get a chance, remember the name Elijah Howard. And if you get a chance to catch him in L.A., Chicago, New York, Detroit, and the other places he said he was going, you're in for a treat. Everyone, have a good night. Don't forget that name, Elijah Howard. I'll be posting this on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, my pages. And I say good night, everyone. And just go to my Facebook page, click on the link, and there it was. And I'll be promoting it on Google Share Plus, which I have, I think, 108,000 people. It'll be there. So for those of you who want to, so the show will be promoted for everybody to listen. All right. Good night, everyone.